God's the greatest. God's the greatest. God's the greatest. God's the greatest. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and messenger. I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and messenger. Come to prayer. Come to prayer. Come to success. Come to success. God's the greatest. God's the greatest. There's no God but Allah.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed thy grace, and not the ways upon those who portion thou as wrath and who go not astray. Amen.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صلات علي بهما وعلى لي بهما إنك حمد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى لي محمد كما بارك على بهما وعلى لي بهما في العالمين إنك حمد مجيد. Allah tells us in Quran, and your Lord says, call on me, I will answer your prayer, but those who are too arrogant to serve me would surely find themselves in hell, in humiliation. Surah 40, chapter 40, ayah, verse 60. How many of us, when we get in trouble, or when we are in need of something, we immediately turn to Allah for help and guidance? Most of the times we turn our thoughts in the direction of people who can help us with what we need or want, instead of first turning our thoughts to Allah and asking for his help and guidance. We turn to his creatures and creation. But in our spiritual eyes and thoughts, we know that it is Allah that directs the people and the resources of the earth to meet our needs. So why should we turn, or should we not turn to Allah first and foremost for our needs. When we don't turn to Allah first, Shaitan or Satan can come in and give us what we are asking and seeking for. And giving us what we are seeking, he guides us in the wrong direction. Shaitan or Satan comes and gives us what we need immediately. But Allah is a God that is patient and gives to us at the right time, in which we will have a mental state of gratitude for his favors to us. How many of the favors of our Lord can we deny? This is where those who are arrogant are in self-love and glorification. Putting the I first before Allah will immediately go after the gratification of the flesh. They would rather get from Satan than to wait on Allah to give to them. That which the evil one gives them is that which is evil. And that is why they are called the evil one, because they guide to that which is rebellious against the will and way of Allah. At the end of the gratification from Satan or Satan, the evil one, whichever name you want to use, they will have to suffer the consequences of accepting the ways of the evil one. That means they will be punished for adopting the wicked way instead of following the ways of righteousness that leads to paradise. The great deception of this world is in immediate gratification that leads, that creates in the minds of humans to get what you need regardless of if it is right or regardless of or if it is wrong. Doing the right thing takes patience. Being arrogant and self-love seeks for self and nothing, or it doesn't seek for that which is right, or it doesn't seek for that which is wrong. It just doesn't matter if it is right or wrong. So at the end, they will find themselves in humiliation, in hell, in the destruction of all that they strove for, in loss, in humiliation, while the steady workings of the righteous will prosper and grow until it is overpowering. In our Salata prayer to Allah, the Exalted, the Al-Fatiha, or the opening or the first chapter of the Quran, we ask for Allah's help and assistance. We repeat this in our prayers to Allah, the Exalted, and when we are sincere in our prayers, we know that we cannot do anything without the help and assistance from our Lord, Allah. This thought pattern stays with us throughout our day-to-day living, and we seek Allah's help and assistance. Bismillah. Let the wicked think they can live without the help and assistance of Allah, and you will see someone who is alive to their own souls. When they are up in the air on an airplane and fear develops of the plane may be malfunctioning when they hit an air pocket or something, who they call upon, or who will they call upon? Allah. When they are at sea and the waves become so strong where it seems the boat will break apart, who will they call upon? You'll see them call upon Allah. When some extreme danger is about to afflict them, and they have no human help, who will they call upon? You will see them call upon Allah. When they stare at a dying relative, who will they call upon? They will call upon Allah, or they will call upon that higher power that they consider something greater than themselves. But you get the picture of what I'm saying. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 186, or Chapter 2, Verse 186. When my servants ask thee concerning me, I am indeed close to them. I listen to the call of every supplicant when he calleth on me. Let them also, with the will, listen to my call and believe in me, that they may walk in the right way. Even though Allah tells us he will answer our prayers, he also lets us know that our prayers to be answered are under a condition. He just won't answer our prayers if we are doing those wicked things against his will. He tells us to obey his call and to follow his way, and by that way your prayers will be answered. We can't think that Allah will answer our prayers if we are not doing those things that he wants us to do. We can't think that Allah will answer our prayers if we are being wicked and not forbidding those things that Allah says are forbidden, are haram. It's the same as expecting a check at the end of the week for the hours that you worked. You put in the work, so you should be given the check for those hours. This creates high hopes of Allah. This creates confidence in Allah. This creates a knowing of surety that we will be given the good return for the good of being obedient to Allah, the Exalted. This creates real faith or iman when we have this experience of these blessings for the good we have done. And we know Allah will bless us for the good we have done because we have experienced it. This makes us stronger in our faith. If we want to increase in our faith, if you want to increase in your faith, do good to Allah's, according to Allah's will. Ask for something good and right, and keep working righteousness, and watch and wait for it to come. When it comes, you know Allah is real. You know Allah is not unfaithful to his trust. You know you are in the religion and way in which Allah has commanded humanity to be in, which is Islam, submission to his will. As I greet you in the greeting words of peace, we said in the Arabic language of Assalamu Alaikum, and we add Rahmatullah wa Barakatuh, which means in English, may the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you. Hazrat Abu Huraira, ready and him, may Allah be pleased with him, state that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, said, Allah says, I behave with my servant as he conceives me to be. I am with him where he remembers me. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, continuing said that, by Allah, he is more pleased with the repentance of a servant of his than one of you who finds out something, a camel, lost by him in the desert. Allah says, one who advances towards me by a hand's breadth, I advance towards him by arm's length. And he who advances towards me by an arm's length, I advance towards him by two arms' length. If a servant of mine comes to me walking, I go to him running. Bukhari and Muslim. Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah, rather in him, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that he heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, say, 3 days before his passing away, let no one of you die except respecting for the best from Allah, the Almighty and Exalted. Muslim. Hazrat Anas bin Malik, rather in him, relates that he heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, say, Allah the Exalted had said, O the son of Adam, certainly I shall continue to pardon thee so long as thou supplicates me and hopest for my forgiveness. Whatever may be thy faults and sins, I don't care, O son of Adam, even if thy sins pile up as high as the sky, and thou ask for my forgiveness, I would forgive thee. Son of Adam, if thou comest to me with an earth full of defaults and meetest me, not associating anything with me, I would come to thee with an earth full of forgiveness. Tirmidhi. Now, let's turn to one of the companions of the Sahabas of the Prophet, Zayd ibn Thabit. His short biography of one great moral or one great deed that we could emulate, we could follow, as I read his small little biography here. Okay, we are in the second year of the Hijrah. Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is buzzing with activity as the Muslims prepare for the long march southwards to Badr. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a final inspection of the first army to be mobilized under his leadership to wage jihad against those who had tormented the Muslims for many years and who were still bent on putting an end to his mission. A youth, not yet 13, walked up to the ranks. He was confident and alert. He held a sword which was as long or possibly slightly longer than his own height. He went up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may God bless him and grant him peace, and said, I dedicate myself to you, Messenger of God. Permit me to be with you and to fight the enemies of God under your banner. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, looked at him with admiration and patted his shoulder with loving tenderness. He commended him for his courage, but refused to enlist him because he was still too young. The youth, Zayd ibn Thabit, turned and walked away, dejected and sad. As he walked in slow and measured paces, he stuck his sword in the ground as a sign of his disappointment. He was denied the honor of accompanying the Prophet on his first campaign. Behind him was his mother, Ann Nawa bint Malik. She felt equally dejected and sad. She had dearly wished to see her young son go with the army of Mujahideen and to be with the Prophet at this most critical time. 1 year later, as preparations were underway for the second encounter with the Quraysh, which took place at Uhud, a group of Muslim teenagers burned arms of various kinds, swords, spears, bows, and arrows, and shields, approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. They were seeking to be enlisted in any capacity in the Muslim ranks. Some of them, like Rafi ibn Khadij and Sumaura ibn Jundub, who were strong and well built for their age and who demonstrated their ability to wrestle and handle weapons, were granted permission by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to join the Muslim forces. Others like Abdullah, the son of Umar, and Zayd ibn Thabit were still considered by the Prophet to be too young and immature to fight. He promised, though, to consider them for a later campaign. It was only at the Battle of the Ditch, when Zayd was about 16 years old, that he was at last allowed to bear arms in defense of the Muslim community. Although Zayd was keen to participate in battles, it is not as a warrior that he is remembered. After his rejection for the Badr campaign, he accepted the fact that he was too young to fight in major battles. His alert mind turned to other fields of service, which had no connection with age and which could bring him closer to the Prophet, peace be upon him. He considered the field of knowledge, and in particular of memorizing the Quran. He mentioned the idea to his mother. He was delighted and immediately made attempts to have his ambition realized. And Nuwar spoke to some men of the Ansar about the youth's desire, and they in turn broached the matter with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "O Messenger of Allah, our son Zayd ibn Thabit has memorized 17 surahs of the Book of Allah and recites them as correctly as they were revealed to you. In addition to that, he is good at reading and writing. It is in this field of service that he deserves to be close to you. Listen to him, if you will." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, listened to Zayd reciting some surahs he had memorized. His recitation was clear and beautiful, and his stops and pauses indicated clearly that he understood well what he recited. The Prophet was pleased. Indeed, he found that Zayd's ability exceeded the commendation he had been given by his relatives. The Prophet then set him a task which required intelligence, skill, and persistence. "Zayd, learn the writing of the Jews for me," instructed the Prophet. "At your command, Messenger of Allah," replied Zayd, who set about learning Hebrew with enthusiasm. He became quite proficient in the language and wrote it for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he wanted to communicate with the Jews. Zayd also read and translated from Hebrew when the Jews wrote to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet instructed him to learn Syriac also, and this he did. Zayd thus came to perform the important function of an interpreter for the Prophet in his dealings with non-Arabic speaking peoples. Zayd's enthusiasm and skill were obvious. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt confident of his faithfulness in the discharge of duties and the care, precision, and understanding with which he carried out tasks, he entrusted Zayd with the weighty responsibility of recording the divine revelation. When any part of the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he often sent for Zayd and instructed him to bring the writing materials, the parchment, the ink pot, and the scapula, and write the revelation. Zayd was not only one who acted as a scribe for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One source has listed 48 persons who used to write for him. Zayd was very prominent among them. He did not only write, but during the Prophet's time, he collected portions of the Quran that were written down by others and arranged these under the supervision of the Prophet. He is reported to have said, "We used to compile the Quran from small manuscripts in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." In this way, Zayd experienced the Quran directly from the Prophet himself. It could be said that he grew up with the verses of the Quran. understanding well the circumstances surrounding each revelation. He thus became well versed in the secrets of the Sharia. At an early age, gained the well-deserved reputation as a leading scholar among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. After the death of the Prophet, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, the task fell on this fortunate young man who specialized in the Quran to authenticate the first and most important reference for the Ummah of Muhammad. This became an urgent task after the wars of apostasy and the battle of Yamama, in particular, in which a large number of those who had committed the Quran to memory perished. Umar convinced the Khalifa Abu Bakr that unless the Quran was collected in one manuscript, a large part of it was in danger of being lost. Abu Bakr summoned Zayd ibn Thabit and said to him, "You are an intelligent young man and we do not suspect you of telling lies or of forgetfulness, and you used to write the divine revelation for Allah's messenger. Therefore, look for all parts of the Quran and collect it in one manuscript." Zayd was immediately aware of the weighty responsibility. He later said, "By Allah, if he, Abu Bakr, had ordered me to shift one of the mountains from its place, it would not have been harder for me than what he had ordered me concerning the collection of the Quran." Zayd finally accepted the task and, according to him, started locating the Quranic material and collected it from parchments, scapula, leaf stalks of date palms, and from the memories of men who knew it by heart. It was a painstaking task for Zayd. Zayd was careful that not a single error, however slight or unintentional, should creep into the work. When Zayd had completed his task, he left the prepared suhuf or sheets with Abu Bakr. Before he died, Abu Bakr left the suhuf with Umar, who in turn left it with his daughter Hafsa. Hafsa, Umar, Salama, Aisha were wives of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with them, who memorized the Quran. During the time of Uthman, by which time Islam has spread far and wide, differences in reading the Quran became obvious. A group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, headed by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yama, who was then stationed in Iraq, came to Uthman and urged him to save the Muslim Ummah before they differ about the Quran. Uthman obtained the manuscripts of the Quran from Hafsa and again summoned the leading authority, Zayd ibn Thabit, and some other competing companions to make accurate copies of it. Zayd was put in charge of the operation. He completed the task with the same meticulousness with which he compiled the original suhuf during the time of Abu Bakr. Zayd and his assistants wrote many copies. One of these Uthman sent to every Muslim province with the order that all other Quranic materials, whether written in fragmentary manuscripts or whole copies, be burnt. This was important in order to eliminate any variations or differences from the standard text of the Quran. Uthman kept a copy for himself and returned the original manuscript to Hafsa. Zayd ibn Thabit thus became one of the foremost authorities on the Quran. Umar ibn al-Khattab once addressed the Muslims and said, "O people, whoever wants to ask about the Quran, let him go to Zayd ibn Thabit." And so it was that seekers of knowledge from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the generation who succeeded them, known as the Tabi'un, came from far and wide to benefit from his knowledge. When Zayd died, Abu Huraira said, "Today, the scholar of this Ummah has died." When a Muslim holds the Quran and reads it or hears it being recited, surah after surah, ayah after ayah, he should know that he owes a tremendous debt of gratitude and recognition to a truly great companion of the Prophet, Zayd ibn Thabit, for helping to preserve for all time to come the Book of Eternal Wisdom. Truly did Allah, the Blessed and Exalted, say, "Surely we have revealed the Book of Remembrance, and we shall certainly preserve it." Surah Al-Hajj 15:9.
Allah, Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ya Allah, Ar-Rahim, Ya Allah, Al-Malik, Ya Allah, Al-Quddus, Ya Allah, السلام يا الله المؤمن يا الله المهيمن يا الله العزيز يا الله الجبار المتكبر الخالق يا الله البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق يا الله الفتاح يا الله العليم يا الله القابض يا الله الباسط يا الله الخافض يا الله الرافع يا الله المعز يا الله المذل يا الله السميع يا الله البصير يا الله الحكم يا الله العدل يا الله اللطيف يا الله الخبير يا الله الحليم يا الله العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ يا الله المعيد يا الله المحيي يا الله المميت يا الله الحي يا الله القيوم يا الله الواجد يا الله الماجد يا الله الواحد يا الله الأحد يا الله الصمد يا الله القادر يا الله المقتدر يا الله المقدم يا الله المؤخر يا الله الأول يا الله الآخر يا الله الظاهر يا الله الباطن يا الله الوالي المتعال البر يا الله التواب يا الله المنتقم يا الله العفو يا الله الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور
Allah is the beneficent, the merciful, the king, the holy, the peace, the guarantor, the guardian, the almighty, the irresistible, the majestic, the creator, the evolver, the fashioner of forms, the forgiving, the subduer, the bestower, the provider, the opener, the all-knowing, the restrainer, the extender, the abaser, the exalter, the giver of honor, the giver of dishonor, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the judge, the just, the gentle, the all-aware, the forbearing, the magnificent, the much forgiving, the grateful, the sublime, the great, the preserver, the nourisher, the bringer of judgment, the majestic, the bountiful, the watchful, the responsive, the vast, the wise, the loving, the all-glorious, the resurrector, the witness, the truth, the trustee, the strong, the firm, the friend, the all-praiseworthy, the accounter, the originator, the restorer, the giver of life, the destroyer, the living, the subsiding, the perceiver, the illustrious, the one, the unity, the eternal, the omnipotent, the determiner, the expedier, the delayer, the first, the last, the magnificent, the manifest, the hidden, the patron, the supremely exalted, the good, the ever returning, the avenger, the partner, the king, the owner of all sovereignty, the lord of majesty and generosity, the equitable, the gatherer, the rich, the enricher, the withholder, the distressor, the propitious, the light, the guide, the incomparable, the immutable, the hearer, the guide to the right path, the timeless, the patient.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله.